Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are once again to discuss the stock market. Today's date is 2/17/2015. Halfway through February on our way to oblivion.
It's more than halfway because February only has 28 days.
Yeah, well, yeah, right. You only got like 11 days left. Yes, month's over.
More calendar news from Dvorak and Horowitz. There you go. A little slow out there, the news. I got to tell you, everything is hit, you know, all about Greece. As a matter of fact, our markets were closed on Monday in observance of the, what is it, the presidential or Washington's birthday? What is it?
It's President's Day, just a combination of Lincoln, Washington, and whoever else is in the neighborhood.
I find it amazing that they were all the great presidents were born on the same day. No?
Yes, that's how you know who to pick.
So we saw that before the weekend started, there was a ceasefire in Russia and Ukraine. With I have italics and a quotes around that, by the way. And we had the potential for a Greek deal. Something was going to happen. It was exciting. They were getting to the table in the Eurozone with the various finance ministers and all the peeps from Greece. And they were something was exciting going to happen. Markets rallied to a new high last week. And then all of a sudden, over the weekend, ceasefire, we see that a lot of the potential things that go into a ceasefire, no good. A lot of things still going on there. And then the Greece guys walked away from the table, said, yeah, forget it. You guys are not getting it. We want serious changes here, and all you want to do is postpone, you know, what we have already. Mm-hmm. So they stood up, walked out, got on a plane, and left. Markets don't seem to care anymore. It's like,
well, they've seen it before, and they've adjusted for it, and now they're...
No, they don't care.
They don't care. They don't care.
They don't care. And, you know, I think, actually, if Greece exits the Eurozone, that's probably the best thing that can happen. Either that or don't change a thing. It's two opposite sides of the spectrum, I realize. But if they don't change a thing, okay, everything goes on as it was, and Greece is still a disaster, and, you know, we still have Draghi giving money to from the ECB in a quantitative easing fashion. But if they exit, real mess, no question about it. But if they get any kind of concessions, if they get a write-down, if they get lower interest rates, if they get anything like that, so there's three possibilities. Nothing changes, they exit, or they get concessions. So if they exit, again, problems, but the bigger problem I find is if they get concessions, because then everybody stands in line waiting for theirs.
And you got, oh, yeah, no, that's exactly what's going to happen if anything too good comes to, you know, something too good happens to Greece, then Spain, Italy, Portugal, all on board.
All on board. So I think that the markets are saying, hey, you know what? Either nothing's going to happen or maybe an extension, but who cares about a couple months here or there? And if not that, they're going to exit. But at least we're not going to have this catastrophe where all these other countries are going to come up and say, hey, we want ours as well. So I think that's kind of what's going on. Now, this is in the face of earnings that are projected to start declining significantly on the S&P 500, currency headwinds, economics that are softening. Markets hit a new high today. And as a matter of fact, they were kind of just hanging out there all day, just kind of plodding along, little up, little down, nothing major, kind of throughout the day. Well, the last minute, somebody put the order in. You will buy. And the markets closed above 2,100 on the S&P 500 for the first time ever by just a hair. As a matter of fact, on the close, it was 2,099.
Huh.
By the time whatever happened and it finished adjusting, it finished at 2,100.34.
Yeah. And that's a signal.
Yeah, just pushing it in, pushing it in. So, again, right now, nobody cares. Now, meanwhile, gold plummeted today. Oil dropped really hard, then came way back. We saw that silver got smacked by about 5%. But otherwise, everything, you know, is okay. A lot of it has to do with Apple, don't forget, because Apple just keeps going up. Apple had good numbers. They're coming out with a watch. They're coming out with a new car. We'll talk about that in a second. But GoPro had a big reversal today. GoPro was up about 12.5%. And this is the day today that the lockup expired.
Should go down.
Well, what happens usually is there's all this anticipation into it, plus their bad earnings. But it went up about 12.5%. I guess it was a little bit oversold. You had a short squeeze go on there. And I'll tell you something. Over the weekend, I updated my GoPro camera and software.
Okay.
One of the things I thought was cool, I think I mentioned this to you, was right now if you turn the camera upside down, well, before, if you turn the camera upside down, you would get an image that was upside down.
Right.
And you'd have to, in the software, change it around and all that. One of the upgrades they had was that now if you turn the camera upside down, it's right side up.
Oh, that's good.
That is a good thing.
Yeah, for that sort of camera, definitely.
Yeah. So, although, on the other hand, if you're doing flips, I wonder if there's a setting to not do that. Because if you're doing flips on, let's say, a wakeboard or on a skiing, you want to see the upside down action, right?
Yeah, I suppose you can disable it. I'm sure there's a setting.
I'd have to look at that.
It'd be crazy not to be, since we didn't do it before.
Right. So now what I did was I took some old footage that I had on the camera and I transferred it to my Mac and I tried to do a little bit of a quick little 1 minute thing with some music under it. Not the easiest thing in the world. It's you know, in some of these video editing programs and audio editing programs, you could take the handle on the end of a clip and move it in, move it out. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't find a handle to move. You have to do a cut and something else and go back and then convert it and do it from the in
out. A lot of converting needed, yes, yeah. For most of this stuff.
I'm not. But not all
videos. I don't even like video. I mean, I do like it, but playing with it is just time consuming. It's more time consuming than anything.
Well, on some of the programs like Adobe Premiere Pro and iMovie, it's not as difficult as it is. This is so rudimentary, this GoPro editing program. What you need to do is just export the whole damn thing and throw it into one of these other programs.
Right.
That's a much better way to go. So I'm still in the camp that GoPro is probably going to go lower for some time. So we'll have to kind of watch that and see what's going on.
I don't know. It's 50 cent stock as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. You know, that's pretty low. But it's possible.
Someday.
Right. Now, the big news on Apple, there's always news on Apple. First, they're ordering 5 to 6 million watches. I'm not sure who they're ordering them from, if they're the manufacturer of them. But they're ordering these to be come out for whenever this, I guess it's imminent, next month or so. They're going to come out with this iWatch. And they're also, more importantly, have a very secret, although nobody knows this now but you and I, a new project called Titan, which is initial design of a vehicle that resembles a minivan that is going to be an electric. Oh, is it going to be electric? I don't know if it's going to be electric, but it's going to be an Apple-branded electric vehicle that's also going to, I think, have automated driving of some sort. A minivan.
Yeah.
Now, do you see a lot of Apple people that have Apple products?
Minivans?
that doesn't...
Soccer mom, Apple fanatics.
Yeah, is that what it is?
I doubt it.
You know what they should do? They should buy the rights to the old Volkswagen van.
Those things. You know, if you can get... If I was watching one of the auto auctions.
Yeah.
And there's somebody got one... If you can get one of those old vans, the ones that have all the little skylights that have a whole bunch of them along the side at the top of the windows.
Yeah.
Have you remembered what that one looks like? It's got your regular windows, and it's got a bunch of these little skylight, little kind of oval-like windows.
On the inside of the...
On the outside.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? So yes. It looks kind of... I don't know why they made them with that, but they're all around. That particular model, if cherried out, sold at auction for $125,000.
I've been in some of those old ones. They're great because they're just like open... they can be like open cargo areas. And they're just so cute.
Yeah, no, it's a great little product.
But they don't sell them anymore.
No. They do sell a kind of a modern version that is extremely expensive and nobody buys them.
Yeah.
Old clunker was the way to go.
Do you not think of, when you think of those things, don't you think of bright colors and flowers on the side?
Minimally.
You know, come on, it's a 60s mobile.
Yeah, well, the ones with those little extra windows around the outside, they call like a 17 window job or something. I can't remember there's a term for it. Those things, you get one, fix it up, and auction it off. They're very valuable.
Well, we'll see what happens with this tighten.
Well, because- you know, I wrote a column about this in the PC Magazine. I think it'll run on Wednesday, the I believe Wednesday the 18th or maybe the 19th. And I came up, I philosophized about this a little differently than everybody else, and it will get some attention. I'm thinking that the Apple is just playing around in the car space with it in mind, if they're comfortable in that space, to buy General Motors or Chrysler.
Wow.
The time, with the stock cap being what it is and the enterprise value being almost the same, so they don't have, you know, they actually have a bunch of billions in the bank, although according to the last time I looked, it's like 32, but they could actually outright buy Chrysler, Fiat Chrysler, which is, I think, the street value is around $32 billion. They can outright buy that, or they could leverage a buyout with some of their, with a stock swap, they could buy General Motors. But I think Fiat Chrysler is the idea. You buy them, and then you put, you got all these Apple designers. They got enough work to do. The company's got the biggest industrial design and the best, by many accounts, industrial design folks in the world. And they could put them to work on redesigning some of these cars, minivan being one of them, like you mentioned. And you'd have a pretty formidable operation, because the car industry is old-fashioned, and they haven't got a clue, generally speaking.
Well, you think this is going to be, if they are actually coming up with some kind of an electric vehicle, although electric vehicle minivan is quite different than a Tesla cool car. Much, it's a whole different genre, right?
Well, yeah, but then again, the designers at Apple are that good that they should be able to make a cool-looking minivan that's modernistic and probably better designed than the Tesla.
If they can get a minivan that actually has good, quote-unquote, gas mileage, or at least good consumption where they can travel for some time, and it looks decent, I wouldn't hesitate to probably buy one.
No. They're a very convenient car. We have a couple. And it's a godsend. I mean, you got to haul a bunch of people around. They hold 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven people easily.
Right.
And then you can fold the seats down. You can carry stuff around, like, you know, big items you can put in the back. It's kind of a combination of a station wagon and a bus.
You know, I bet you had one of those wood-sided station wagons.
No, I wish.
You didn't have one?
No, I always had. I had the fire red, orange, fire, what's it called? I forgot, flare orange Mustang.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah.
My first car was a...
We had it actually customized from the, we ordered it from the factory, so I got a, you get a pinstripe around it, which is gorgeous, and all white interior. It was pretty nice.
What was your first car you ever had?
A Corvair.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's impressive.
Well, it was used. And it was a four-door, so it was kind of clunky.
Oh.
But, and it was gutless, but it was very handy. In fact, it was so, it was when I was in high school, and we drive it down to Los Angeles on the weekends, me and a couple other guys. And one time I remember something happened to the, I don't know, we left the lights on or something, the battery. And any one person could push this thing to speed and throw it in gear and start it.
Really?
It wasn't a very heavy car.
I had a Camaro. It was my first car. Yep. I had a 1970 Camaro. That was in 1983. And it was kind of rusty and it was kind of ugly, and but it was a Camaro. I didn't care.
Yeah, Camaros are good. Rust buckets. I always thought they were noisy.
Oh, terribly noisy. And just clinky and clunky and things loose.
Right.
But and we did a lot of work on it. And this is my grandmother's car that she gave me.
Huh.
Yep. Anyway, let's see here. So you remember we've been kind of really picking on Barron's a lot and their various picks and pans?
No, not we.
I'm picking on Barron's a lot?
Yes.
Well, you know, they have that picks and pans where they put that on the website and they look at their bullish magazine picks and their bearish magazine picks and their bullish online picks and their bearish online picks.
Yeah, I can already see where this is going.
I distinctly remember just recently, and again, I don't know what they call a pick and how it qualifies for a pick, but they were really, there was a big old thing on GoPro on there. Oh, GoPro could drop 50% and it's whole other thing. And there's other ones that they've been negative about. Well, if I looked this week at the online page, and it if you look at what I gave you there, it has the Bullish Magazine picks. It's three different stocks, Dollar General, Town Bank, and Credit Suisse. Bearish Magazine picks, no company stories published in this category. Bullish Online picks, Halliburton, Schlumberger. Bearish Online picks, no companies published in this category. So they're not tracking any of their shorts or bearish. What's that about?
I don't know. Maybe they're off.
Maybe because the last couple have been really so bad.
That must be it. I mean, it doesn't sound right.
They have to have a couple of bearish picks there somewhere. But
Then what's the point of the article being named the way it's named?
I don't know. It's on the sidebar of the...
Picks and pans. There's no pans.
No
pans. What's the point? We'll just say picks.
Yeah, picks. All we do is get the good stuff and the ones that we want up there that are doing well.
Well, none of these are kicking ass.
Yeah, those are new, though. So in the latest 13F, this is a big couple of days coming, and today was one of them for 13F and various releases from private hedge funds and money managers that will release their latest updates to their portfolio, quarterly updates. They show what's in, what's out, what they added to, what they detracted from. You know, so they may own IBM, they added to it. They may own Facebook, and they took a little bit of shares out or added to them. You see this every quarter. I thought this was really interesting. One of the ones that came out today. Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway added to his IBM stake. Now, it would seem to me that Buffett is supposed to be the investor who looks at stocks and outperforming stocks that will be really great in the future and hold on to them for a long time and buys at a significant discount and all these other things, right?
Yeah.
So he bought IBM, which looks like a real piece of crap from everybody's standpoint.
Right. It doesn't have any redeeming qualities.
Okay. Besides the fact, the one redeeming quality is that they are committed to share buybacks, shedding the bad part of the companies, some kind of turnaround plan, and dividends. That's basically what they are all about. But he cut his position in Exxon, I believe, and Chevron as prices were going down because of oil prices. I'm thinking to myself, he's cutting Exxon. Cutting Exxon. This is one of the great companies of the world, right?
I would think.
Good dividend payer.
Yep.
Is in a situation where it's coming down due to the fact that oil prices have come down so significantly. So you would think you would start flashing the whole idea of bargain. Bargain. Buy more. Bargain. Quality company, doing all things right, except for the fact that they're in a situation where oil prices are coming down so significantly, and it's only been recent. And Warren Buffett is not known to be a short-term investor.
Right.
But he cuts Exxon and adds to IBM. I just don't understand the logic there.
Maybe he's lost his touch.
Well, there's other people that are managing the portfolio. We know that.
Well, maybe they've lost their touch.
I just thought it was really weird. But one thing it did tell me, once again, and it did reinforce this idea, that Buffett is always looking for a company that, how do I explain this? All right. So one of the big holdings that he has is financial institutions and insurance companies. And forget about Buffett. I'm not commenting about Buffett for a second. We know that financial institutions pretty much rape the consumer, right?
It's what their job is.
Legally.
Yeah.
And insurance companies can do all sorts of things. The whole idea of an insurance company, it's one of the biggest Ponzi schemes out there. Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
No, I agree.
So it seems to me that Buffett is onto all this in the nice guy suit that he wears, looking for companies that pretty much have a legal right to fleece the consumer. And we'll do all sorts of things that will be within the legal boundaries of a company to do. What are you eating, Fig Newtons?
No, I'm just moving some paper around. Mm. Why would Fig Newtons come to mind?
It sounded like a Fig Newton container.
Oh. No, it's a little thing of drops I have here that is dead empty.
Mm. Ah, yeah, I know that needs to go. That does sound like Fig Newtons. Mm. So I haven't had a Fig Newton in years.
I have my Fig Newton story.
Go ahead.
I think I've told this before on one show or another. I like the story. So I go to, I'm an inspector for the air pollution district, and I'm inspecting Grandma's cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And I go in there, and a couple of things happen. First of all, I learn a couple of things. One, I asked the guy who was managing the cookie lines. I said, "You must get sick of cookies." And the guy says, "No, I love cookies," which I thought was different. I didn't think to expect that. The second thing was is that we go to the Fig Newton line. It's the Fig Newtons are coming right out of the oven.
Oh.
You have no idea. I never liked Fig Newtons. Didn't have any appreciation for Fig Newtons. I didn't. In fact, I thought they were disgusting. A fresh one out of the oven? Oh, my God. It's unbelievable.
Really?
Oh. You just go, holy, I think I ate three or four of them. And they're going down the assembly line. It's like, wow.
They're just probably not as dry.
Oh, they're just, like one of the best things you can imagine. Yeah, no, they're very moist and they're warm. And it's just a fantastic product. And it's just fresh out of the oven.
Oh, figs are great.
And the last thing, I like figs. I have two fig trees. And so then the last thing I learned, which I thought was just fascinating, was I get to the end of this, you know, I'm inspecting the place. I'm at the end, and there's a bunch of people another one of the conveyor belts. Cookies are going by, and there's these pickers. They're inspectors, and they're, like, grabbing cookies and throwing them, like, back over their heads like it was a hook shot in basketball. And they've got, like, a bunch of broken cookies. Boom, over they go. Over they go, the broken cookies. And so I asked the guy, say, wow, so what do they do with all those broken cookies that are going in that giant bin? Were they used for animal feed, or what do they do? They go, oh, no, we actually sell them by the hundreds of pounds in bags to a guy in Los Angeles who takes them, repackages them, and puts them in vending machines because people who buy cookies from vending machines think they got broken in the machine.
That's true. You wouldn't think twice.
No, you wouldn't think twice, but if you realize that these cookies were put in there broken, you would be very disconcerted. But anyway, I thought that guy, whoever that guy was in L.A. that repackaged the cookies, is a genius.
Yeah, that's smart stuff. And he probably says, you know what, Fig Newtons need to be put on the top shelf of the machine, so when it falls down, everybody thinks it's broken.
There weren't too many broken Fig Newtons on that line because the Fig Newton is made in such a way. It's not like a normal cookie.
Yeah, it has some kind of, it's almost like a, what is it like? It's like a...
It's like something you think
it's like a fig burrito.
What are those things? It's not a taco. It's not a burrito. It's a tamale.
Ah,
it's got, you know, a thing around the outside.
Corn on the outside. Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my story.
Ah, good stuff. Very good stuff. All right, let's take a look at what's going on. Otherwise, a judge is temporarily blocking President Barack Obama's plan to protect millions of undocumented immigrants from deportation.
Huh. Yes.
Why would somebody want to block that?
It's a mystery. Maybe because it's illegal, Obama.
I just don't understand why we would want all these undocumented immigrants escaping deportation rather than putting money into the idea of getting them documented. You know, getting them citizenship. Rather than doing this, and then what? Then what happens?
They come back.
The whole thing's ridiculous. Then we have an onslaught of immigrants coming in, which is fine. That's what the country was built on. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with immigrants being in the country at all. But I just don't understand why we're just going to allow it where they should have. Because then what was going to happen? They're going to get free health care? Are they going to get free health care then?
That's the idea.
Give them free health care. Why? Just give them free health care. That makes sense. Just come on. Why don't we, instead of doing that, why don't we just expand health care to the world? Free health care for everybody. What's the difference?
I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, what's the difference? And then what happens is the government pays for all that. The insurance companies that Warren Buffett owns get even richer. See, the guy's smart, this Buffett.
Maybe that's what Buffett's up to. He knows something.
Yeah, of course. He knows what's going on. You know, this is a terrible story. This is a sad story. But I don't understand what's going on. Nobody's thinking these days. So 16 people were killed and 78 injured Tuesday when a carnival float. When I first read this, I'm thinking, carnival float? Was that like a boat from the Carnival Cruise Lines or something? But it wasn't. It was a big celebration, a float for carnival, we'll call it. It hit a power line in Haiti's capital, Port-au-Prince, sending off a stampede by bystanders. This happened in Fort Lauderdale in the river not too long ago. As a matter of fact, I know this because we heard this boom and lights flickered. And then that night I happened to take out the boat with my parents going for dinner. And as I'm going down the river, not too far from my house, there was like this cop just standing there. And I'm thinking he's going to pull me over or whatever cops do in the water. Lights flash and all sorts of stuff yelling at me. Like, what is he saying? What is he? Go back. He's saying, go back. I said, why am I going back? I just want to go this way. Go back. The river's closed. Turns out right up the road, 75-foot sailboat didn't calculate the height of the water to the top of where this power line is. And its mast hit the power line and just kind of blew out everything on the boat.
Not bad.
Yeah, it was ugly. Sent the guy to the hospital and all that.
The guy couldn't lower his mast. It was just a fixed mast.
Yeah, 75-foot mast. You can't lower that.
That's a big, well, I guess not.
It was It was big. There's no way to.
That's a big boat.
Yeah, it's a big boat. It was a big boat. Now it's a charred boat. Okay. We need to talk about Fossil. Remember how I've been hawking about this whole watch thesis?
Yeah, you're hanging out. You're hung up on this watch thing.
Yeah, I am.
That's good.
Yep. So Fossil comes out with the earnings they miss. This is tonight. I actually entered a short right before the close today for client portfolios. Not a big position, but enough to kind of get it in there just before the earnings happen. You know, if it went up and it kind of squeezed up, okay, I couldn't get hurt that much or fine. But if it goes down, you know, get some nice profit. So look at this number. Fossil sees fiscal year 15 of earnings of $5.45 to $6.05. Pretty wide margin, but the consensus estimate was for $7.56. It sees its quarter one earnings at 59 to 69 cents versus $1.21 consensus. So people are definitely not buying watches. This was also could have been interpreted from the Michael Kors numbers that came out not too long ago. Stock dives another 15% on the news. I'm sticking by this whole idea that people are waiting for a wearable. Or maybe not waiting for a wearable, just not wearing a watch because they have other sources to get, whether their computer tells the time for them, whether their smartphone or anything tells the time for them. It's just right there. What's the point of wearing the watch? I told you.
I've always believed this. I don't have a watch. I use my phone.
Yeah.
Well, now they have these that new device from Amazon, the one that's, you know, it's like a tube that you talk to.
That is a fight. Hey, what time is it?
It can tell you the time.
That's a silly device. It
can tell you the weather, although you can look outside and see the weather. You can't look outside and necessarily see the time unless there's a clock tower nearby.
Yeah, but every computer in the bottom right or top right of the computer has the time.
Yeah, I'm at the time now. Yeah.
You can put a little app on there to put a little clock if you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what the point is. So anyway, the thesis is sound so far.
So you think people don't want a watch?
I think that's the case. More and more people. I think there are people that are used to wearing a watch, and the older generations that will wear a watch, and it's a piece of their jewelry. And
well, I would qualify as that generation, and I never wear a watch.
Okay, well, but you're also technically very tech savvy.
Yeah, well, that's the kind of the it's true.
So I'm talking about people that don't necessarily, you know, these. I'm talking about people that if they left their phone at home, wouldn't be bothered about it.
I leave my phone at home, and I'm not bothered about it.
Really?
No, yeah.
I can't leave without my phone. It has everything on there.
Do you need when you're driving around?
Well, I have my phone. You're
driving between here and there and you need a phone on you? For what reason? You're not going to talk while you're driving. It's too dangerous.
But I read.
You read while you're driving.
Yeah, why? Get the right hand on the steering wheel holding the phone just like that. What's the problem with that? Watch the stock market quotes as I'm going, making sure things are going right, you know, seeing what's happening, catching up on things, getting texts. I know that's probably somewhat dangerous, but yes, I wear my seatbelt, you know?
Well, let's hope you don't kill some little kid walking across
the street. Gosh, now that you put the hex on me now.
No, let's stop doing it then.
Okay. I have a question about a front page article on Bloomberg. This is the article. This is the first paragraph. Starbucks quietly rolled out a new breakfast item nationwide on Tuesday called the double smoked bacon and cheddar and egg sandwich Seriously, this front page.
Is this an article or an advertisement?
This is an article. Well, maybe they paid him, but as far as I can see, it's an article.
It looks like native advertising.
As part of an ongoing effort to expand his food offerings. It's got melted cheese on a thick hardwood smoked bacon and, like Starbucks ham and Swiss breakfast sandwich, is served on a La Boulange croissant bun.
Yeah.
What the hell is a La Boulange croissant? Is that a brand?
Yeah, well, it was a bakery chain in California called La Boulange, and making some of the best bread and pastries you could buy anywhere. There's one in San Francisco, and there's a bunch of them in various strip malls around the state if you drive up and down. And it was catching on. It was becoming a big deal. They have their own farms to grow their own wheat, and this is like vertically integrated. And all of the blue, boom. Starbucks buys them. And so now all these, they're still there, all these stores, but now Starbucks owns them all. So you have to assume at some point that they're going to cheapen the product like big companies do. And yeah, that's what they're talking about.
If you go on Bloomberg, it's the second main story down in the center. Starbucks just stealthily released a new bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich.
Not that stealthy if they're picking it up.
Yep. Crazy.
And who cares?
That's what I'm wondering. Why is that? That's what I'm wondering.
That's what I'm saying. It had to be bought and paid for.
Maybe. The Westminster Dog Show is on. You been watching that?
No, I'd like to watch it, but I haven't been watching it.
Well, there's a couple of things that I watched a couple of clips and a few things here. I had a couple of things that I thought were interesting. First of all, do you know that according to the American Kennel Club, the number of purebred litters conceived with frozen semen has risen by 26% over the past decade.
Yeah, no, I heard that. And by the way, I'm on the Bloomberg. That sandwich looks pretty damn good.
What could be bad about, you know, buttery eggs and all that in between a croissant?
Yeah, well, you got your butter, you got your bacon, you got your eggs, you got your cheese.
Right.
And the croissant bun.
Yeah.
Which I never heard of a croissant bun, but this is a croissant bun. It's made with flaky pastry. It's got to be delicious.
I'm sure it is. It's got to be very high in calorie as well as fat.
$4.50. I'm sure it's dynamite. Yeah, I keep you going all day.
Right. Is it better than Fig Newton from Fresh from the Line? I don't think so.
I doubt it.
Yeah, no.
I doubt it.
Now, in terms of this frozen semen, do you know what a semen sample, one that would be used to inseminate a dog, what it could cost from a prize dog?
$100?
$2,000.
Wow.
Now, that's a business.
Yeah, but who jacks off the dog?
It's somebody.
What's your job, my friend?
Yep.
Well, let me tell you.
That's for the small ones, it's probably really hard to do.
Oh, I don't even want to think about it.
Now, I was watching these clips. You've watched these before, right?
But actually, with a small dog, you can just use your leg and the dog will do all the work.
All right, let's get away from this for a second here. Let's move far away from this. I can't even think straight right now. I'm so disgusted. Okay.
But pretty gross.
Have you watched, this is actually what I'm about to talk about is the same kind of concept. Have you watched the dog show? They take the dog, they put a little dog on a stand, right? They put the left leg and right leg out.
I love the dog show.
And then the trainer seems to have something in their hand, right? To make sure the dog stays focused. Like some kind of piece of liver or something?
I think some of them have food, yeah.
And they kind of like look like, the people look like they're tasting it, putting it by their mouth.
I never seen that.
And showing the dog. Then the judge comes over. Yeah. He does the old look at the teeth kind of thing. He looks at the ears and pets it and kind of rounds the head and looks at the spine. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Then he puts his hand.
They feel the dog and they go over his tail and then they feel underneath to see if he's bony.
That's not bony. I found out what that's about because I was like, what are they doing with their hand underneath like that?
Yeah.
They're grabbing underneath. They want to make sure that the dog is not neutered. So it's squeezing
the dog's nuts and
yes.
Really?
Yes. Because it seems
that. Why can't you enter a neutered dog?
You can't. That's the problem.
Here's the reason. Because the business.
Yeah, you can't.
No, you can't sell the semen if it's a neutered dog. And so the whole idea is bad.
Yep.
Can't give them an award. There's no money in it.
So this poor dog is sitting there and he's getting his hoogies squeezed.
I never knew this.
Yeah, this is. I had to look this up and do some deep research on this, by the way, because I was so disturbed about what I was watching. So what is going on there? So I don't know what happens with a female dog. I'm not quite sure what they do, how they test whatever they're testing.
Now, you're worse than me.
Yeah, well, no, I'm just saying, I don't know. I mean, if you, it's easy to feel the protruding.
Yeah, you can. I don't know. Boogies. They'd have to, I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah. So that's some job. And why they're all so big and fat, those dog judges?
What's not all of them. There's some female dog judges, and there's some skinny guys. There's a lot of big fat guys, yes.
I just like the announcer.
Well, have you ever seen Best of Show, the movie?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Really? I need to get that?
Oh, it's hilarious. It's one of those comedies done by, I can't remember the guy's name, but he does a bunch of them. He's an ensemble. It's got people like Fred Willard in it. And Fred Willard plays the dog announcer. And so he is doing all, and the character he's playing thinks he's hilarious. So he's always saying little snide things and asking the rudest questions of the expert who's there discussing the various dogs as they come up. But Best in Show is a movie you should rent for sure. You will love it.
Oh, I'll get that.
As Christopher Guest, he does these sorts of crazy movies. It's a very unusual film.
Well, especially,
it's shot like a documentary.
Yeah, especially with what I've been seeing today, you know, this whole thing. It's, you know, and I was watching a couple of them. It's so funny that you have a certain breed. You know, you can watch all the different ones, the working dogs or the toy dogs. But if you watch the actual judging of a particular breed, they all look exactly the same.
I know the dogs do.
They look exactly.
I guess the gait, some of them don't walk right, and some of them are too jumpy. And, of course, if a dog ever barks in that place, they're done.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
No barking. And I like those.
Well, not when the judge is around. I think you can bark at your master, or you can bark while you're getting excited, but you can't normally be barking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, on to the...
I think you'd think they'd bark when the guy's got his hand up there.
Yeah, a little yelp or something.
Yeah, why?
That again? What the hell? Just give my papers. I swear. So some new toys that are coming on the scene these days, and they're getting newer and better and more realistic, it seems. The newest one is Hasbro's Baby Alive line, coming out later this year. It's a... did you have any dolls? Do you have like a G.I. Joe or anything when you were younger?
I had teddy bears. And I think I had a real doll, not a real doll in the sense of those ones that they make that look like real women, but, you know, like a doll, uh-huh. some sort of a little doll.
But you didn't have like a G.I. Joe. I think I had G.I. Joe.
I had the plastic soldiers.
Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah. But the G.I. Joe brand, I don't remember owning. Especially, but those were the time that the early G.I. Joes were giant. And those are the ones that I think are valuable.
Well, there's a new $50 doll.
I was always looking at these toys as investment opportunities.
Well, not all of them. Just think about the Beanie Babies. You have to be quick.
Yeah.
They'll come back one day. They'll come back. In and out. I have my collection. One day they'll be worth something. I actually have one that I just
wish. I actually have a couple of valuable ones.
Do you? But valuable today versus what they were valued at then is not the same.
No, they would have been worth a lot back then, but just like, you know, the corporate ones that were specifically designed for a corporation and very limited run.
Mm-hmm. Well, the doll will announce when she's hungry and ask in English or Spanish, this is pretty cool, the bilingual doll, for a snack, which you prepare for her by shaping solid doll food in molds. And then after she eats,
she craps
into a diaper.
She does?
Yeah. The good news is the food is reusable.
So the crap, you can feed the doll crap so you can kind of get... Yeah, I see. It's a comment on society, actually.
But the problem is this is a terrible training process.
Because the little girl will start feeding the baby crap.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, now that you mention it, it's not a good idea.
I mean, you know, what do you mean I can't do this? I mean, I did it as a kid all the time. We just took a little bit out of there, remolded it, put a little garlic on it. It was
today's
fine.
Today's show has just gone downhill since the story about grandma's cookies.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we have some other things we talk about. How about Snapchat worth $19 billion? How do you like that?
Yeah.
I don't think there's any ads or any revenue model yet.
No, there never will be.
$19
They'll just be
billion.
Bought by Facebook.
Didn't they buy it already? Who bought it? Didn't somebody buy it?
Did Facebook already buy them?
Who owns Snapchat? That's a good check.
I thought it was a European product that was still floating around and available for somebody. I do remember somebody making a pass at it. Maybe you're right.
Let's see. Snapchat turned down $3 billion. Nope. No, I guess they're not owned by them. Yep.
No, maybe not. $3 billion they turned down. Huh. It takes a lot of nerve.
So, yeah, can you imagine that? $3 billion. Well, I guess you figure you didn't have anything and you have something now, maybe it'll be worth more. Carnegie Mellon University seems to be having the same problem as MIT, Johns Hopkins, UCLA, and other elite schools that have recently broken hearts through a technology glitch. They mistakenly emailed hundreds of applicants saying, you've been accepted.
Oh, no.
The admission office incorrectly sent an email on Monday to about 800 people who applied for the university's master's program in computer science. And then we're told...
Doesn't sound like a very good computer science program. Yeah.
And then we're told within hours that, oops, people are out to dinner with their parents, friends, celebrating, drinking. Ah, I was finally... Look, I got into this great program. How great. And they're told, no, I'm sorry. You're not accepted. It was an error. How awful is that? God, that's terrible.
Oh, I can see tears coming. I see kids crying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bastards.
So, yeah. There's another app out called Venmo. Are you familiar with this at all?
I've heard of Venmo.
I just heard about it this week, actually. It's owned, I did some research, owned by PayPal/eBay. And it is a way to easily pay people. For example, you set up an account. You link it to your bank account or bank accounts. And let's say I have one, a Venmo account, and you have a Venmo account. And I don't know, we're doing our thing. And I say, you know, I'm going to pick up dinner. I'm going to pay for it. And you say, well, you know what? I'll pay you, but I don't have any cash. So let's say you owe me $50. So you just bing me on Venmo and pay me $50. Like really easily, just right on the app. Boom, pay John $50 or pay Andrew $50, whatever it is.
Why don't you use a credit card?
Because I need to take your money.
Why?
Let's go through this again.
You're splitting the bill, but splitting one guy's bill. Paying?
I'm paying for the bill. It costs $100. You don't have any cash on you.
I want to tell you what the deal is here. The only reason people do that, because normally you can just put down a couple of credit cards.
Right.
And they'll split the bill for you. So why don't you just do it that way? No. When somebody wants to pick up the whole tab so they can take it off their taxes.
Well, that's one thing. But a lot of these kids don't have maybe don't have credit cards. A lot of people are doing, I don't know about you, but
if they have a bank account, they can get a debit card pretty easily.
They can get a debit card. But for whatever reason, somebody says, hey, you know what? How about this? You know what? We're going to go into a party tonight and I want to buy, you know, Mr. X a present. Let's go in on it. And you say, okay, that sounds great. You can say, I'll pay you when I get there. Or you can say, you know what? Let me just hit you on Venmo for it. How about that?
I think carrying around some cash is easier.
Okay.
That sounds like a solution to a problem that doesn't really exist.
Let me give you another example. Okay. Let's say we have an account, you and I. We split a Venmo account. I have one, you have one, whatever. And listeners want to donate. They just hit us up on Venmo. As an example.
I'll try that on the No Agenda show.
Right? You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
So it's a lot easier. Just click their button. It's done. They don't have to send money. They don't have to go PayPal. They don't have to do anything. They just put you on the Venmo and they hit you. Comes right out of their bank account.
Well,
no fees, I don't think.
Well, that makes no sense if there's no fees.
I don't think there's any fees. Very light. I don't think there's any fees.
And then what's the revenue model? Why are they doing it?
I don't know that answer. Maybe to suck you in, to get names, to build a list, to get you used to the whole product. And then maybe they get a float on the money. I don't know.
Huh.
But it's like being able to accept a credit card without all of the merchant processing.
Yeah.
That would be a good idea.
You seem pretty jacked up about this.
I'm not jacked up, but I thought it was a good idea. I just thought that it was an interesting way to give people money, particularly when you have friends. I mean, I know my daughter uses it a lot.
She uses Venmo?
Yeah, she uses Venmo. They did some, like they go somewhere, they're going to split a gift, they're going to, you know, I'll pay you for dinner. I mean, whatever it may be. I don't have money for...
So she splits it with who? Her boyfriend or her
I know that she, the other day, for example, she went out and somebody picked up the tab for something, a bunch of people, and said, just, you know, hit me on Venmo for you. Everybody owes me $7 each or something like that, whatever it was.
You have to have money in Venmo to do this? It's like a bank account. You have to have like a savings account, a Venmo account with actual cash in it.
I don't think so. I think it just attaches to your bank account.
And steals money from your bank account?
Yeah. So, for example, let's say that I have a Bank of America account and I want to send money to somebody. I have to in advance set the whole thing up, right? I have to set up where either the link it to their bank account, or I have to go and set it up that it's going to send a check to their house through a bill pay or something like that.
Yeah, you could do that online.
Right. But this, if someone else easily has a Venmo and that they have, for example, a Venmo screen name, we'll call it, you just say, what's your screen name? And you just pay them through the screen name.
All right, I'll get an account and check it out.
Yeah, just check it out. I think it's kind
of interesting. You get a commission for selling me on this thing? Like
I do. As a matter of fact, I happen to be the creator of Venmo. No, but seriously, I mean, I just
why
thought
is
it was
called Venmo. It's a dumb name.
Maybe like Vendor Mo.
Mo. Vendor Mo.
Vendor. Should be Vendor No or something like that, or Credit Card No. Or,
well, I've heard of the Venmo, but I didn't know anything about it. Now I do, and so I'm going to check it out. I'm going to get an account and see if. What the deal is.
If anybody has any information on it, why it's good, why it's bad, send it in to us. You can find our addresses everywhere.
Yeah, there must be somebody has a clue.
Yeah, somebody has a clue of what's going on. Let's see here. What's going on in Boston, man? A lot of snow.
Yes.
Like
snowstorm after snowstorm after snowstorm.
Historic amounts of snow.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that the global warming thing again?
Yeah, global warming.
Global warming is causing a lot of snow. And then we're going to have an epic drought out here. Something coming.
We got one out here.
Oh, do you? Can't use your sprinklers and all that?
The warmists, they say that this could now go on for hundreds of years.
Hundreds of years?
Yeah.
And how long has it been going on so far?
2 years.
Wow. You going to start getting the fires and all that?
No, we always have fires. It has little to do with it.
No. So it's starting to spread. The end of the world is near. We're all going to
if it's not raining a lot, the brush doesn't grow that big, so the fires are probably minimized.
So the end of the world is not near?
No.
It's not going to end in my lifetime, is it?
All I know is that the water rates will go up, and then when the drought's over and we start having too much rain, it'll never go down.
There is no oversight on water prices.
No.
That seems like something that should be regulated somehow.
You think, yes.
Because in my other house that I had water bills of like $500 a month.
Yeah, apparently if you're in Texas, you get those sorts of water bills.
That's just unbelievable. I mean, who could afford a $500 water bill?
I don't know. I don't know how you can use something. You can just buy bottled water. It'd be cheaper.
Yeah, I could shower with Evian.
Yeah, or use the sparkling stuff.
Yeah. And that probably, now, that would probably be good. You probably get very clean with that. Yeah, exactly. Okay, what else is going on around the world? What do you have? Anything in the technology? You were on Twit last week. What happened?
Nothing. We just talked about the Apple car and some other stuff. It wasn't any real breaking news. The tech scene is kind of dead. I don't have anything. I think we should go to our stocks.
Before we do that, what about this one product that overtook Samsung in China as the number one smartphone manufacturer? This is the, how do you pronounce that? The Maya?
Huawei?
No, Xiaomi, which is pronounced.
Oh, Xiaomi, yeah.
But it's pronounced something else. My way. Why me? Overtakes Samsung as China's top smartphone vendor. Now, there's some talk about that they stole the ideas from Apple, or Apple stole the ideas from them, or what's up with that?
Apple didn't steal the ideas from them.
Uh-uh. No?
No, I don't know anything about it. I have to look into it.
Yeah, it looks like a cool phone. I mean, looks like.
I think you can buy them here by mail order, unlocked for like $200.
All right, well, let's take a look at the stocks. Of course, you can go over to dhunplug.com and check this all out. And by the way, before we get to the stocks, may I say that if you aren't following myself or John C. Dvorak on Twitter, you're missing a lot. You got to follow me at Andrew Horowitz, that's the name, or The Real Dvorak. John has a lot more followers than I do by a multiple. I want to try to goose it up. So if you're not following me,
you need more.
I need more. I got more. I get good conversations going there. I don't like the company Twitter from its business model, but I like it from usage and how you use it. As you notice that I am short in the game on Twitter. But anyway,
we only have three reds in the whole thing here today.
Yep. And one of them is stopped out. Let me look here. Yep, one of them is stopped out. So this is not an offer to buy or sell any security. This is just a game that we play. John C. Dvorak, myself, or Horowitz Company clients may own any of these. I'm surprised, by the way, that I don't have Fossil on there after I've talked about them so much. But Oh, well, missed that one.
You had it on there, didn't you? And then it got bumped?
Fossil. I had
it was like last year sometime.
Maybe
it was last year. I vaguely remember you owning it, piece of it.
Maybe. Still got some good numbers on here. We got Zotus up 40%, American Assets Trust up 26%. GoPro got stopped out today, but you're up 49% on that position that got closed. That
good.
Is awesome. You also notice there's a lot of bright green on here. You know, this thing changes. We have conditional formatting. So dependent on how the stock is doing, if you're over 20% or so, you get this bright green color if it's up that much.
Yeah.
So we got a lot of bright green on there. I think more bright green than anything else.
Yeah, we were nailing it.
Monster Beverage up 20%. Fleer, just hanging in there, up 9%. IBM, just not doing anything.
Dead money.
Up 0.89. Walgreens, just I don't know, this is the second time I saw. You know, I think there's a reason now that I just thought of this.
Okay.
Just thought of this. The reason why Walgreens has a zero change for the second week in a row, it's no longer that company.
Oh, we have it changed symbols?
Yeah, it's like Walgreens Boots or something like that.
Oh, that's right. They were Boots.
Right?
It's the British operation.
I wonder if I can...
I've always liked the Boots operation.
Walgreens Boots.
Yeah, their whole thing has to be adjusted. We should probably just take this off.
Yeah, we could do that.
And that's, you know, it was picked by insiders. I mean, it might be higher than 23 after the deal was done. Picked by insiders who knew this, the Boots thing was going to happen, which is always my rationale for these insiders buying too much stuff.
WBA is the symbol.
WBA.
So let's
what's it selling for?
I'm going to look at that right now.
It's probably been adjusted in different ways.
WBA. Oops, that's not it. WBA. Enter. 78. Let's see where it started. It was at January. It was at 74. It went up to 80. No, I think it's the same price, isn't it? What's the price here?
76.
Yeah, so I think it's WBA. I'm going to change to WBA. WBA. Enter.
Okay, well, good. Then I'll make more money.
There you go. Panera Bread is in the money. Up 4.5%.
Earnings, a short.
Earnings came out terrible. Doug, the short of the short, is up 16.8%.
That was a good one.
Yep.
That's the riskiest one on the whole list as far as I'm concerned.
Yep. Triangle Petroleum is also up about 4%. Intrexon?
Yeah. Corp,
up 25.5%.
Not bad for less than a month.
That's beautiful. Shake Shack short is up 13%. Bank of New York Mellon. Now, one of the things that's happening with banks is that you're seeing that the yield curve is starting to shift. As a matter of fact, if you look at the symbol TLT,
go there.
This is the long bond. This is the long bond ETF. Now look at this. Look at this over, let's call it year to date. Okay,
hold on. Let me get to it. We gotta get to Yahoo Finance. What's the symbol again?
TLT. TLT.
Tender loving something.
Yep. And the dog. If this was the dog show, that would be testicles.
There we go again. Okay, let me look at the.
So in January, this hit a peak of about 138. And now it's at 126. Now, the move to 138 was pretty substantial. This is indicative of the pricing on 20-year plus bonds, treasuries. So as treasuries yield moves down, the price on this moves up. As the treasury yield moves up, this moves down. So you'll see that what this is showing us now is that yields have been moving up. Yields moving up.
No, recently, but I'm saying long term.
Oh, long term. Yeah, if you look at this over 5 years, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. So that's an interesting little ETF.
Yep. This is when people are buying bonds and pressing it in there, and all about. It's also all about. Quantitative easing.
What is the opposite one, the short of this?
There's a double out there, TBT.
TBT and it's a double?
Yeah.
Is there a single?
Let's see. What's this? This is up $3, so...
Let me look at this over 2
maybe
years.
Maybe PWC, possibly. I don't... but it's not exact.
Okay, so this thing... Oh, this thing has gone from 80 as the double down to 40, so it got cut in half, and now it's up to 44. So this the high end on this is 80, 80
Yeah, it's down.
We went back the other way.
Over the last 1 year, it's down 36%, where TLT is up 18%. So it's a pretty good, if you put those both on a chart, which I have right in front of me, they're pretty much identical, but in inverse.
I'm liking this.
But TBT definitely, it's a double, yeah. So TBT definitely took a lot more downside. Let me see. No, it was right on. It was right on.
Yeah, I was saying the doubling thing is questionable.
So this is something that people would get into if, in fact, and again, TBT and TLT is still just off of the top. I mean, going back 1 year, TLT is still up 18.5%, which is pretty dramatic. As a matter of fact, if you look at the comparison of SPY over that period, SPY in the same 1 year period is up about 14%, where the bonds are up 18.5%, and that's recently down 10%. I mean, the TLT was up almost 30% in a 1 year period. Pretty impressive.
Well, this is pretty impressive too. And going the other way,
yeah.
52-week high is 72, and now it's sitting at 44.
Yeah, I mean, this could be a really good buy. I mean,
I think I'm going to put this on the list.
I think it's a great idea. I mean, we'll see. Tomorrow, the Fed is coming out with their minutes, so we're going to know a lot more about what they're thinking in terms of what they're going to do, et cetera. Let's put this on here for you. TBT. Hey, you got it? You're going to be... this is the last price. Entry, we don't know yet. Delete. Okay. All right, what else do you have?
I have a couple of things to look at.
Yep.
I'm liking, this one is a kind of a, it's almost, I wouldn't say it's a penny stock, but it's, and I don't like these stocks that are this priced like this, but there's a couple of things up here that we got some massive insider buying to the tune of $20 million.
Wow.
On two of these, which is a little high. One of them is Colfax Corporation, which is a diversified machinery company.
Mm-hmm.
And it's already kind of making its move. It's making some moves.
Is it COLF?
CFX.
CFX, okay. Wow.
And then there is this guy, Julian Baker, who's one of these professional board members on all kinds of different companies, mostly pharmaceuticals. He just dropped $19 million. Actually, the strange thing about it is $19,999.99. This company is Idera Pharmaceuticals, IDRA. And I think that's the one I'm going to go for.
IDRA. IDRA. Let's take a look. Up 7% today. Oh, you like the smaller priced ones. What do they do? Let's see. Clinical stage biotech company engaged in discovery and development of novel synthetic deoxyribonucleic acid DNA and ribonucleic acid RNA-based drug candidates. Companies developing long-term candidates for immune response, remediating like toll-like receptors. Uh-huh. Company collaborated with Merck, Sharp, and Dome in the use of agonists.
Yeah, they didn't pronounce these words anymore.
I don't understand what some of these things mean. And as vaccine adjuvants for cancer.
Adjuvants.
Wow, look at that net profit margin is a negative 31,000%.
Yeah,
wow.
They're rolling it, though.
Yep, return on average equity negative.
So why would you drop $20 million into this?
Well, especially there's only 18 employees.
Yeah, there's something fishy about this.
Somebody's going to be buying it is why.
Yes, that's my guess. Somebody is going to be buying this company.
Yep.
And it could be any number of the companies that this other guy's involved with. I mean, because he would know if he's on two if you're on two boards.
Yep. Well, we saw that with what was that stock? The I company.
Yeah, the guy was in a couple of different companies, and they, you know, they end up buying each
right,
other.
Exactly.
Now, this guy, let me give you the other companies he's involved with. Okay, he's involved with Synageva Biopharma.
Yep.
And he's buying that up, not this much. And that is GEVA. He's also involved with Insight Corporation, which is INCY. He's buying that. He's
NC, really? He's involved in that one too?
Yeah, Insight.
Mm-hmm. That one's been moving.
He's also bought more of both of those. And then he's got some action. Most of his holdings seem to be in, and he's not making a lot of money, but he's been buying tons of this stuff, which is Genomic Health. which is GHDX. So he's in all these companies. So when he's as a board member or director, so when he all of a sudden out of the blue, because he had nothing to do with IDRA, he hasn't been buying that until now, and out of the blue he buys it, I have to think something's up.
And all these companies are crap companies in terms of their fundamentals.
Well, I know, but that's how they make money. They buy each other. And he makes it. That's how they keep the stock propped up, because you buy one, you buy two, and you keep buying.
They're all involved in some kind of either cancer or some kind of gene therapy.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, there are crap companies.
All right, let's take a look. Let's put this on here. So you're going to buy this. Put this over here. Control V. IDRA. IDRA. Enter. Okay, we're buying that for insiders. And we'll put that here. Insiders.
A possible merger.
/ merger? Question mark. Okay. Well, that's good. Merger. Enter. Okay, got that. Did that. Okay, I got this. Change the color to make it gray. John's are in gray. Mine are in white. All right, we got a good list. I don't have anything. I have nothing.
Okay. Well, I didn't have anything last show, so that's fine.
I'm waiting to see if something breaks here. I mean, everything is kind of just slowly but surely moving nicely up, but I guess I would double down on GoPro at this point.
As a short?
Yeah. Actually, GoPro is at it's actually, I think it's over $50 today.
Oh, maybe you should do that. That would give you something to do, because I'm out now because I got kicked out.
Yeah, I'm going to wait till next week.
All right. It's fine.
I'm going to wait. Go PRO. Enter. It closed at, let's see, $50.92. 55 is my number. That's my number. That's what I'm going to be buying or shorting out again. I closed the short for clients. We owned it twice. Last time was for about $9 profit. Time before that was a bunch of money.
You mean you owned the short twice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'll go into this again. It's just, a reaction to the lockup period expiration. So, all right. Well, I will talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
And tell me what you find out about that that product, the payment product.
Yeah, I'll Venmo.
Yeah, go get
an account and see what it does.
And tell me what the name means too.
I'll probably never find out.
All right, I'm going to go and rent that movie.
Yeah, you should. You'll love it.
And get a box of Fig Newtons at the same time.
Well, yeah. Okay.
All right. See you later. Right.
See you next week. Right. Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket stands a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.